email sent out. We look at a passage a few times. I just shook my head and said, why did Jesus do that? And we'll look into some of that today, but just to realize, just again, his compassion, his love, his care, and just the beauty and the wonder of the gospel message that goes out to the world in what it is that Jesus does for us. It's good to see some of our city mission people here tonight who weren't able to be here this morning, but we're thankful for the ministry that you guys had down at the mission today, and we'll just pray that continue to work there, just even in people's hearts through hopefully that they were there to hear the word preached as well as to receive the kindness that was shown to them. But as we get started, I will pray, and then we'll read the text together. God, as we approach your word now, we thank you for your truth. Lord, we know that it guides us in the ways that we ought to go. It gives us wisdom to deal with the things that come our way. And Lord, so we just pray that tonight as we look at your word, you would teach us. Lord, you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, and just help us as we go out from here, just to continue to revel in the God that you are, and to with zeal seek to do those things which you have for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Read the text, verses 21 through verse 40, and then we'll look at, I guess it's in three different sections that we look at, and just as it unfolds. But in verse 21, and Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put him at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7 and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides the women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. So as we get into this section, we realize and understand there's some things we're going to learn about Jesus's ministry. And here particularly, some of the things that characterize this section and the people that Jesus talks to is that there are, they're Gentile people, not part of the nation of Israel. And as we look at and think of those things, we understand the history of the nation of Israel with the Abrahamic and the Mosaic covenants, the Davidic covenant, all those things that make promises to to the nation of Israel. All those things that proclaim and make known to them, the Messiah is going to come. I have a plan for you. And yet we look at that and realize, as we now turn and look at some of these Gentiles, we realize, well, even the look at the Abrahamic covenant, in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. And realize that as we look at those things, it is important just to understand that context. Even the nation of Israel going into Canaan and driving all of the people out to get the land that was promised to them. Or they were supposed to drive all of the people out and get the land that God promised to them. But yet, God has a plan for those other people, and we'll see some of these things here. So, as we get started, the first person that we meet is the woman from Canaanite. She's a Canaanite woman. She was in that region. All right. Thank you, Dominic. That's just one of the things we're going to do to kind of get us into the scene that is set here. This woman was calling out while Jesus was walking with his disciples. Now, I don't know whether any of you were thinking, Rob, make him stop. He's distracting everyone and disturbing the service. Or you assume there must be something to this, because Dominic just wouldn't do that unless he was... Okay. All right. So we look at that, and just even with that scenario, to look at this, the idea, we see some other times and things that even go on where the disciples are there with Jesus, and people were persistent, you know, trying to get his attention. People coming out of the crowds, trying to touch his robe that they might be healed. They heard things and they saw things. They understood things about this man who had come. And we see the faith that is in this woman's heart. As we look at the first 20, or the first eight verses. Always throws me off when we start kind of in the middle. But the faith that's in this woman's heart. You know, beginning with the fact that there's a knowledge that has been received. She has some knowledge here as we look at verse 22. You know, she's a Canaanite region. She's a Canaanite woman in that region. And she comes out and says, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. And she was not from the nation of Israel. She wasn't of the lineage of David. She wasn't a part of that group of people, even to whom, you know, the Messiah there is promised. And yet, how does she address him? You are the Son of David. She knew about David the king. She addresses him as Lord, understanding that he has authority over all that is made. She knows some things about Christ. And we see that throughout, even looking at history, understanding that the nation of Israel, when they went in to Canaan, crossing the Jordan River and going to Jericho, and they say, you know, here we are here, and they says, our people are terrified of you because of your God. They know what your God has done at the Red Sea. They know his power. They know how he destroyed the Egyptians, the enemies of God. And that terrified them. And maybe even this woman, if she heard even Canaanite history, understood that the people were put out from the country because a powerful God overthrew all the nations that were in there, giving that land to the nation of Israel. And yet she too had heard. She's not living far away, but she knows who the Son of David is. And she knows who the Lord is. She knows the power that he has. She knows the things that as he has come, that he teaches and that he does for the people. So this knowledge just causes her to come out to see Jesus because she doesn't have any idea what else she's going to do. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. So she comes to Jesus. And this is where Jesus does a surprising thing. But he did not answer her a word. I tried to ignore Dominic the best that I could. But that was even difficult. But Jesus said nothing. And as I studied and as I thought, I said, that's not right. Jesus doesn't ignore people. But he wasn't answering. He had nothing there that he was going to give her, maybe we'd say even just at that time, because there's a lesson to be learned for us. But Jesus just didn't say a thing. You know, it's his disciples that came to him begging, say, look, send her away. Fix her problem and get her out of here, or tell her to go away because she's crying out after us. You know, is it just disturbing them? I don't want to hear that extra noise. It's giving me a headache. Or is it we've got work to do? We've got plans to do. We can't be distracted by other things that are around us. We don't know that. But they were not pleased that she was there and that she continued to persist. Maybe they were wondering in their mind, why isn't Jesus doing anything? And so he answers in verse 24. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And again, understanding the context, looking at this, Matthew writing to Hebrews and considering these things, looking at the kingdom of God, which really ties itself in with the Messiah, focusing on Jesus' ministry. Why had he come? What he didn't? Well, all the promises that were made, all the work that he was doing. He's coming to the nation of Israel. That was telling us more about his earthly ministry than anything else. Because we realize that, well, his earthly ministry maybe they're more limited to the nation of Israel. And yet, the work that he came to do, to give his life a ransom for many, to die on a cross for the sins of people, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. That gospel message is a gospel message to all people, not just one nation. So Jesus came with a work to do. We're not saying he hated or he didn't like the Gentile people. And we'll see as we go on, that is not true. But yet he had a purpose in his ministry, and it's important for us to clarify that. Why would he ignore her? And he goes on to say some other things. Well, we'll say, as we see that mercy is being sought by this woman. First of all, she calls out for mercy in verse 22 because her daughter's oppressed by a demon. But in verse 25, she comes, she kneels before him and begs and says, Lord, help me. Help me. And Jesus answers again. I'm thinking, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. You know, and again, for his disciples, for the people in the nation of Israel, they would have looked around and seen those around them, the Gentiles, the Samaritans. They're like dogs. And they're culturally the things that are going on there. And Jesus is again saying, I have come to the nation of Israel. And that's the idea. This is the children's bread. What have I to do with you? So as Jesus says that, she continues to plead for mercy in verse 27. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know, essentially she's looking at that. And I think maybe there's a grasping there. She understands that she might be an outsider. She's from the land of Canaan. Canaanite woman. And she's coming to the Messiah, the King of Israel. And she's asking him to show her mercy. You think, I don't know whether I belong here or not, but where else am I going to go? And he pleads for mercy. And she doesn't first receive the answer she wants, but she's, but isn't there some mercy for me? Said, I know who you are. It could spill over onto me and to my daughter, can't it? She knows how much grace is there. You know, when we look at Jesus in his answer to her then in verse 28, he says, oh woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Now, so we look at that and realize some of the things Jesus said, although maybe in our minds we're thinking, I don't know why Jesus would say that. You know, and a world would tell us, doesn't God just love everybody and do everything that everybody needs? Well, I think God can love everybody, and well, that doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved. God loves everyone. That doesn't mean he takes away every problem that anybody has. See, God can love everyone and yet not do everything that they might desire of him. But this woman says, I know you're a God of mercy. I know you are the Son of David, full of grace. And Jesus tells her, man, what great faith you have. What little maybe you may have heard of me. What you know of me, you maybe haven't been taught all of these things, and yet you look at me and say, you are one who shows mercy. You are one with power to heal. And although I am not one of your people, I come to you hoping that that mercy can be shown to me. And Jesus, I don't know that verse nextly tells us it's because of her faith that he does those things, but there's a commendation that accompanies the cure. He says, your faith is great. And I'll tell you what, your daughter, I'm going to do what you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So we look at that, the faith that a woman has. And the reality is we have no idea how it is that God works in anybody's heart to create faith or to open their eyes that they might be able to see and know what the truth of God's word is. And yet he does it all the time. And this woman hears, and her response is, I trust you. I believe that you are who you say you are, and you, with great power, you save and deliver people. And that's where her heart is. She had that great faith commended by our Savior. God hears her cries, and she is healed. As we move on in our text, the next section that we have, we see that Jesus gains a following. Verse 29, read it again just to brush up our memories. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. You know, Jesus, a few times walking, you know, he's just like anybody else. He needs a rest. And so he comes and he just sits down on the mountain. Hopefully I can get up when I'm. He sits down on the mountain, and people just came from everywhere, multitudes of people, to see Jesus and to see what he's going to do. Much like we see here. We realize that people just came out. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Now, when you're done, up here I have a bunch of Band-Aids. I didn't want you to try to decide right now what you're going to get. But at the end of service, you come up and get them. That's as close to healing as I can get. So, when you You guys can go back. That's fantastic. Thank you for your help. All right, so we look at that. People come out again, whether they hear what God did for this woman, if she went back and told, or they too had much the same thoughts as this woman did. We've got problems, and we've heard about what this man has been doing in the nation of Israel. Here he is near us. We are going to go and see if we can partake of the same mercy and kindness that the nation of Israel is receiving. And we realize that as they came to him, well, now Jesus isn't ignoring them as far as answering them, but he says the great crowds come, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And as he goes on, he says their bodies are healed. He took care of their problems. He addressed their issues just like he had been doing all along, working in the lives of people. These same people, many of whom, or all of whom, are Gentiles, outsiders. Jesus had compassion on them, and he cared for them, and he met their needs in spectacular and miraculous ways. Later on, the text says 3 days. This was happening. But maybe more importantly, more importantly, not only were their bodies healed, but their hearts were directed to God. Their hearts were directed to God. As Jesus did all of these things, we understand that his work and his teaching, it doesn't say whether he taught here or not, but as he worked, what was he aiming to do? What was God doing through that work? Well, the crowd wondered. They were amazed at the things that they had seen. Mute that were speaking, crippled, healthy, lame walking, the blind seeing. So they were amazed at the work of Jesus Christ and what it is that God was doing through him. And then we see this last phrase in this section, and they glorified the house, or they glorified the God of Israel. Even another indication there. You know, who were these people that Jesus was reaching out to? Well, you know, they would have just glorified God if they were part of Israel, because that's who they knew him. But now they are glorifying the God of Israel. They look to Christ. And now their hearts and their minds were directed towards the true God and his Son, Jesus Christ, who is doing all of these things for them. So with Jesus gaining a following, a crowd coming along, taking an interest, benefiting greatly from what Jesus was doing. And now it seems that they are worshiping God. We don't know what all of their faith was. Every now and then we see in the phrase, people will glorify God, and we don't know all of those details. But I have to think, even this, all of these people, fully again, what they understood or what Jesus was teaching while he was there. But certainly we can get into the book of Acts and the word of God spreading out into all of these nations. You know, some of these same people says, I remember Jesus Christ. And I know what it is that he has done. And the message goes forth that he died for the sins of all who will believe in him. And their hearts, just like the hearts of the nation of Israel, would respond in faith and follow after God. So Jesus gains a following. He's got a large crowd with him. And then there's an issue that this, this crowd has. In verse 32, as Jesus says, then he called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat, and I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on their way. And now, if any of I don't know how young to say. But if any of you kids want to come up, I've got two baskets up here. And again, to get us into the scene, what I'd like you to do is just go around the crowd. Go to the crowd and pass out. I was going to get fish, but I give too much candy away, and real fish would be bad. So you can take these baskets, and anybody in the crowd that wants to take the baskets to everybody else, anybody in the crowd that wants a package of Ritz crackers, they are yours to take home. If you want them for charcuterie tonight, you know, that is fine. But anybody who wants one gets a package of crackers. So go as quickly as you can, because I need to get going again. But we look at this, these people. There is, you know, some people will look at it and say, well, they had the feeding of the 5,000. Well, is the feeding of the 4,000 the same thing? They say, well, there are some significant differences that were just even in the language that suggest, you know, anybody who wants to make that argument, well, they really can't. In the earlier text, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tells them to sit on the grass. Well, in here, they say, tell them to sit on the ground or even the dirt. Now, what would the difference be? Well, a little bit of time passes, or you get a different geographical area. You know, for us, it's not until August that you might not have grass to sit on because it's all dried up, and now you have to sit on the ground. But for them, in the summertime, the grass would dry out, and there's just ground to sit on. There's a different region that they are in. You know, different number of loaves, different number of fish, and people that would say, well, it's the same, just there are mistakes, and that's why there are differences. See, no, that's simply not the case. These are two different instances. And thank you. All right, and you guys did well because, yes, we have some left over. All right, that was my other concern, that we wouldn't have any left over. Thank you guys again for your help. But as we look at this, passing them out, very much the same thing. Again, that comparison that we look at, you know, Jesus to the nation of Israel, feeding of the 5,000, some pay these things, just even the fact that it's parallel. And again, we get to Acts, and you see the work of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, repeated later in the book of Acts among the Gentiles, just to say God is at work and God has a plan. And that plan that he has doesn't make a distinction in this for his plan of salvation for people. And maybe that same thing is happening here where he has a very similar miracle that he does. But I think more so just looking at the text to say, you know, why did Jesus do it? Was he trying to make a point? You know, is he trying to draw parallels? The reason he does it in verse 32, I have compassion on the crowd. They've been here for 3 days. They have nothing to eat, and I'm unwilling to send them away hungry. You know, some of these people may have come and had no intention of staying this long. They brought some food with them, and that food lasted for, a few days, maybe a day or two, and now they've run out of food. They tell us again, it is a desolate place. Aren't places just to run out and get bread or to get food in order to feed themselves. And so Jesus, you know, giving food to the crowd, meeting their need. Just even again to look at Jesus' heart. You know, it's wonderful even looking at this text. Why wouldn't Jesus answer? Why did he say, I'm not here for you, I'm here for the nation of Israel? It just seems unkind. It doesn't feel like he's being good or gracious. And yet we continue and say, no, Jesus has time for them. No, Jesus has compassion on them. And he cares for them and he wants to meet their needs. And we realize here, yes, the need is met with compassion, concern for them, that they'd been there a long time. How are they going to get home? We have to get them something to eat. And then as we go on in verse 33, we'll realize that the need is met to satisfaction. The need is met to satisfaction. The disciples said, where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? They said, there's no way we can get enough stuff in order to feed these people. You'd think they'd say, you're going to have to do it again because we're in the same spot we were in before. And Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves of the fish and he gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to the disciples. And then they passed it out to the crowd. And then in verse 37, that answer, the need is met to satisfaction. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up seven baskets full of the broken pieces left over. So we look at that text and realize just how it is that Jesus, in his compassion and in the needs that are met. And this goes so much further, even as we consider our own faith and our own need. What he's able to do, what he's willing to do, is so far above and beyond what it is that maybe we would even think to ask for, or that we can imagine would be true. He says, but it is satisfied. And many times we look at this text and say, yeah, well, hey, you know, he could have said, I'm just going to give you enough to get by. I'll give you enough to get to the next town. I'll do it. No, they were satisfied. They had everything that they need. And in fact, there was more available, if it was needed, than what was required to meet the need. And we look at that and just how Jesus works, and even particularly we think of his grace, his goodness, the mercy that he shows in salvation. How good it is that God does not say, you know, I will save you a little bit and send you on your way, and we'll see if you can get the rest of the way on your own. You know, you're going to get by, and I'm going to give you some things to do and go from there. No, it is satisfied. The need that we have because of the sinfulness of our hearts, it is met completely. Every single sin, you know, forgiven, removed from us, as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. It is completely dealt with. And how he meets this need with the great compassion and care and love that Jesus has, that says, I will fully satisfy what is necessary that you might be able to find your way home. That's what he's telling them. And for us, I have come that your need will be fully realized and completely dealt with, that I will give you a home that is far beyond any home that you have on this earth. We just see that pattern in Jesus as he gives food to the crowd and he sends them on the way, overflowing with grace and with mercy. And it talks about the physical work here, that say those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. Again, a large crowd. If he did that for 10 people, I'd be impressed and happy. The fact that he can do it for thousands and thousands of thousands just makes you wonder all the more. But to realize the goodness and the generosity of God in the lives of people, and in offering and in giving salvation to those who will believe, just how vast and great and spectacular that is when we consider who God is and we consider the work of Jesus Christ and how significant that is in our lives. So in conclusion, as we look at this text and just see what Jesus did, and particularly just even the idea he went to the Gentiles, but just in their minds, and what that even people that maybe are considered on the outside, even some of those songs, you know, they are lowly, they are poor, and those things, the conclusion, just asking the question, does the goodness of God and the knowledge of Christ compel us to a greater faith? Even looking at those two first instances, to say that woman who heard and knew about the Son of David, she knew about the work of Jesus Christ, she knew the need that she had, and the concern and the fear and the worry that she had for her daughter. She goes, well, God is so good. And Christ's work is so great. And even today, to say, you know, if you're doing your own thing and you're not haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you're living in sin, to say, you know, I know what it is that Christ has done, and I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to put everything in His hands, and I'm going to follow Him with my heart, for He is God, and He is my Savior. And for others to look at that, you know, day by day, man, I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. To say, I know who God is, and I know what Jesus Christ has done. And every day, as I walk through this life, I'm going to let that control what I do. I'm not going to fear those things that are in the future in the same way. And it doesn't mean that we ignore the concerns that we have or the real concerns that are out there. So no, we may work towards those things, but say, Lord, I am going to trust You. I am coming to You because You is where I find my answers. You is where I find my hope. And for that, like that woman and those that came to be healed, they had real physical needs, but because they knew who God was, that's where they went. For us, we can go to Him with spiritual needs and physical needs. Say, I trust in the goodness of God, and because I know Christ as my Savior. And then secondly, just a thought as we look at this, and this may be prompted a little bit more by the fact that Jesus even going to the Gentiles, do we think regularly about the fact that God is at work in people to change their hearts and bring about faith in them? And we don't know, you know, with the disciples or whatever else, but to realize even looking at that, you know, for the Jews, these people are considered outsiders. What do you have to do with us? What do you have to do with Jesus? Well, here's a woman, we don't know how she heard, but she heard by word of mouth that the Son of David was here. And He's healing people. And I'm going to come to Him and search for mercy. Well, whoever it is that people hear, and hopefully we might look and say, I know how they heard. They heard it from me. They know the great and the wonderful things that God has done. And is even that spreading word of mouth, hopefully our mouths are part of that spread and making things known that this is what God has done, and realizing that all the people that are in our lives, God will powerfully work to change their hearts and bring about faith in them. And always we think about the people that we run into. You know, we think about how important it is that when the way we live and the things that we do, that it proclaims the truth about who God is and what it is that Christ has done. And as people hear about that, from they come and say, I want to know more about that. That God that you serve and that God that you love has done great things for you. And I know it because I've heard you say it. And I want to come to Him. This passage kind of draws us and makes us think about those things, think about what Jesus has done, how it is that He reaches out to people, how it is that He has compassion on them, that they might bring glory to His name, falling it on their knees and worshiping Him. So continue just considering these things from Matthew, and what it is that Christ has done in your own life, and what it is that He might do in the life of others. We will pray. I don't think I've got a song back there, but I don't even remember what it is. But our God, we thank You for this evening. And Lord, as we just look and we consider and we think about the great and the marvelous things that Christ did while He walked on this earth, Lord, what a wonderful picture to us about the importance of faith. Lord, how accessible You are and Jesus is because of the work that Christ has done and the faith that You have given to us. And Lord, we just pray that we would be lights in the world that are around us. And Lord, that we would live our lives every single day, that even if nobody else notices, that we know where our hope is and where our joy lies, and Lord, that our faith would grow. as we consider what it is that you desire for us to do and what it is that you have done for us. And so we thank you for these things, Lord, and for your word, and just ask that you bless the rest of our evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.